AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
In 2016, a YouTube video went viral showing a long-haired guy in a cowboy hat and sunglasses playing a guitar that had been fashioned out of a metal shovel. He was playing a distorted, rocked-out Mississippi Delta vibe, and the video exploded. It would not be long before people began to take notice of a guitarist named Justin Johnson. Now, Johnson's video, which now sits at 20 million views and intermittently winds up in my inbox even today, helped shine the light on a practice that is at least 150 years old, if not older, manufacturing a playable instrument from found objects. Done in this day and age because of a rank fascination with the idea. But once upon a time, it was an economic workaround for the intrepid musician, something called the cigar box guitar. We'll talk about this on box number 7. If you go to cigarboxguitars.com, you will find a nicely curated website dedicated to the subject of cigar box guitars, to include a historical record complete with some wonderful pictures. Shane Spiel has quite a collection of instruments and art and has been a frontline advocate for the instrument since he built his first one, somewhere around 1995, possibly older than that, though. His outward projecting renaissance with the instrument isn't the first, but it is the most consistently managed in current times for sure. On the artistic front, there is an 1876 etching by Edwin Forbes that shows what is believed to be one of the earliest moments a cigar box guitar was galvanized into American iconography, one that shows the instrument being played by a Union soldier sitting by a campfire. But believe it or not, Maya Angelou references the instrument in her famous, epical, I Know Why the Cage Bird Sings. Carl Perkins mentions it as is an inaugural instrument in his own musical journey. You remember Carl Perkins, the actual writer of the song Blue Suede Shoes, which was later blown into the third heaven by Elvis Presley sometime later. In the 1940s, it would become a nostalgia point, with the Boy Scout projects and magazine articles even detailing how to build cigar box violins with a set of instructions included in the magazines. Walt Disney even included the instrument in Disneyland's now-defunct Country Bear Jamboree, a feature, of course, that has been sadly deleted from the Disney landscape, whether by accident, design, or mendaciousness, who knows anymore. These ebbs and flows of the instrument have to have a beginning, however. It started with baseline ingenuity by simply running a piece of baling wire between two fixed points, you know, such as nails, and with enough tension to impute musical value and vibration. And from there, a bottleneck or a piece of metal tubing could be run up and down the tension points, and a slide guitar of sorts was now in play. This is known in the trade as the diddly bow. In fact, Jack White is even seen fashioning one in the beginning of the musical documentary It Might Get Loud. That documentary stars himself, the U2's The Edge, and of course Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin. The desire for acoustic amplification would soon give way to versions of the guitar that included more strings and boxed in bodies that would amplify the essential core delivery. Soon, basic economics would drive people to the cigar box because of its size and its availability. This was because an excise tax on tobacco in 1862 forced a concentrated packaging scenario that would demand small boxes for small concentrations of cigars and cigarettes, thus the arrival of the throwaway cigar box. Now, the variations are as wide as the imagination can carry a person, and some are crudely fashioned using a steel bolt to form a bridge, although that's just the beginning. Some have acoustic holes cut in them. Others have violin-esque F-holes in case you want to flex your latent Stradivarian identity. Today, some even have piezo pickups and plugs for an amp, and quite frankly, it's actually been transmogrified into extreme levels of actual pickups from Gibson, Ibanez, wherever people can cannibalize them off of old instruments, but we'll also talk about where actual pickups and things can be bought later. Some are even made with a broomstick mounted inside of a can, an oil can, a beer can, a soda can, a food can, anything. And it has been reflexively called the canjo, typically having only one string, reminiscent of the diddly bow. By the way, it is assumed that the famous blues musician Bo Diddley basically took a contrapuntal expression of the term diddly bow and extracted his name from it. These instruments can have at times a surprisingly organic sound, and in the hands of a versatile player, can make even the cheapest of instruments sellable for a good sum. To this, I defer to the aforementioned Justin Johnson, who takes three strings and lays out a Skynyrd tune you might recognize with impunity. I play it here in part. Personal level, I built my own first one many years ago now, and while it is the crudest of my builds, it actually appears on a country song by Nashville artist Adrian Taylor. I also have played it at church a couple of times, and that reminds me, I guess I need to bring it back out. It's cool that I have a church that doesn't look at this instrument like a leprous also-ran of musicality, but sees it as a legitimate expression of gospel music. And also, Delta Blues gospel can't be beat anyway. Come fight me on this. See me outside, out back, right now. Oh, and the ridiculously gifted gospel and blues singer Ruthie Foster signed my cigar box guitar, and she happened to proclaim it to be the first one she'd signed, and she did look at it rather strangely when I presented it to her. The last few I have made, by the way, actually have frets, but mostly meant to make the instrument look cooler, which is, in my opinion, a legitimate goal. Cool-looking guitars. But also allows reference points for the player, as they are mostly played with a slide, and in my case, I use the Joe Perry ceramic slide, although Justin Johnson has one on his website that I would like to try one day as well. I also made one out of a Mississippi license plate, but this is usually done to pay a hat tip to Highway 61 and the birth of the Delta Blues, especially in the hands of blues legend Robert Johnson, which will be covered someday on another podcast here. As you well know, Johnson, that supposedly went down to the crossroads and traded his soul to some nefarious Mephistophelian musical entity in exchange for, musical ability and fame. Apparently it only lasts 29 years of your life, so those Faustian bargains aren't so great. Anyway, Justin Johnson blows up the entire webosphere with his shovel guitar, and as they say, a rising tide lifted all boats when that video hit. and it helped shine the light back on serious advocates like the previously mentioned Shane Spiel, billed as the king of the cigar box guitar and certainly the most active curator in the realm. I actually built my own in 2013 on inspiration from Chicago-based musician Glenn Kaiser, who is also the founder of the 1970s-born flagship Christian rock group The Resurrection Band, of which the first two albums are some of my favorite music to this day. And here's Glenn.
I never thought about the environment till I got old. Never understood why kept the house colder.
Activity with the ministry called Jesus People USA has always been an outreach to the poor, the downtrodden, and even the incarcerated in the Chicago area. Glenn brings his cigar box building acumen to those places when possible and proves you can make a viable guitar out of what others might consider junk, and he frequently does. And he occasionally gets permission to bring his material and skills into the prison environment and conduct a clinic, which is rife with inspiration and, possibly has a positive effect on somebody's life. Glenn even builds and sells them at a great price, and I intend to pick one of his up as he is a personal hero of mine, and he's the one that led me to the genre in the first place. So let's talk about the impact this has had in recent years. On the blues front, singer and songwriter Samantha Fish channels an onstage persona that takes the first aesthetic blush of Marilyn Monroe and combines it with the bluesy soul of Bonnie Raitt. She legitimized the instrument to a high degree in recent years and even played it on tour extensively with Slash in a 2024 part of a notable blues lineup that also included Eric Gales. Paul McCartney shocked the world when he proved he could wrest the best from it during a Hurricane Sandy benefit concert in 2012, where he played the song Cut Me Some Slack with the remaining members of Nirvana. I mean, what do you expect from Paul McCartney anyway? I mean, come on. He is, after all, Sir Paul. But here's the thing about the instrument. Its ultimate accessibility. With just three strings and a slide, you, me, anyone can play the instrument. At its core, it's as simple as playing an auto harp, and any three-chord song you ever wanted to learn is within your reach. For instance, Amazing Grace requires the ability to find three different placement lines on the neck. Once you know those, the song is yours. How much variance you put into it is, of course, up to you. And I absolutely advocate that you either learn to build one or buy one. Most can be purchased inside of the $100 to $200 range, and all the ones I ever sold have been around that much. There is no way to build one. There is no wrong way to build one, and the ingenuities present in the realm are quite surprising and inspiring. And even better, a website dedicated to building, parts, and sales exists. It's called cbgiddy.com, which is a clever contraction. CB meaning cigar box, and giddy being, the term of endearment for guitar. cbgiddy.com. Go there and get lost in your desire to have one of these. And they even sell kits with prefabricated parts. If you wanted to go that route the first time, you can paint them any way you want without fear of damaging a vintage instrument. Your individuality reigns supreme, and trust me, it is fun. Oh, did I mention fiddles? The cigar box fiddle is every bit as formidable and old as the guitar version and appears in the photos of many an Appalachian band from time immemorial. You can build your own for $124 with an American flag stained box if you want. It's incredible. Go to their site and tell me if you're not going to get tempted. They do have a number of fully built designs, though, should you just want to purchase one outright. In fact, my Waffle House guitar should be done this month, the one I'm building. I'm obsessed with Waffle House. In fact, I should just plan a tour of Waffle Houses once it's done and make up a Waffle House medley of some kind. The problem is now I'm hungry. I'm intermittent fasting, and talking about waffles at this time of morning is it's pushing me over the edge, so I guess I'm going to go play my cigar box guitar. But check out the links I leave you for all my references, and you'll love it. Until then, we'll be tuning life in intervals of fifths. This is box number 7.